Coming up on podcast 1139, how electric vehicles can save paradise islands the likes of Hawaii. Stick around, I've got the details. Also on the show today, NIO have their eyes on the prize, and it's certainly not more than Norway. We talk about Tesla price increases and some really big ones this time. And also we look at the new Harley Livewire electric motorcycle. Well, good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, wherever you're listening in the world. Welcome to EV News Daily, Saturday 10th of July. My name is Martin Lee, and I go through every EV story so you don't have to. We'll kick off with three bits of news about pricing coming in for three cars, at least here in the UK. Might not be exactly the same where you're listening around the world, so I'd always love to hear what it's like where you are. Ford will start with the Mustang Mach-E, and this is the GT Performance Edition. Made its debut at the Goodwood Festival of Speed, which is on right now, big event, and it's good to have people back at that, of course, after missing it with COVID year. Customer deliveries of that start over here late summer. It rivals the likes of Kia's EV6 GT, which really intrigues me. That EV6 GT is fire-breathing, 576 horsepower. However, the new Ford Mustang Mach-E GT Performance costs a little bit more. Now, yesterday on the podcast, I was talking about how much I would love a Mach-E. I'm just not in the market for spending, you know, £40,000, £50,000, £60,000 on an EV. And I should have gone a bit further and said almost £70,000. Because if you'd like to put a GT Performance in your driveway, it's going to cost £67,000. Now, you get a lot for your money. It's 88 kilowatt hour battery. You've got a combined output of 459 horsepower, more than an actual Mustang GT, which is 444 horsepower from a 5-litre V8. Says Evo magazine, the brilliant high-performance mag Evo, say that torque is 634 pound-feet. That's huge. That's 146 pound-feet more than something like a Tesla Model Y Performance. So Ford beating Tesla on the stats wars there. But if you go 0 to 60, 3.7 seconds, then it would be slower than a Model Y Performance. 3.7 seconds, 0 to 62 miles an hour. That is 0 to 100 kilometres an hour. 1.4 seconds quicker than the ordinary Mach-E all-wheel drive. Top speed is probably low for a car of this price and performance and power. Top speed 124 miles an hour. Does it matter? That would get me banned from driving if I was caught doing that in this country. That's 13 miles an hour quicker than its standard Mustang Mach-E siblings. Evo say that the GT's range is 310 miles, sacrificing 25 miles over the standard all-wheel drive and sacrificing 69 miles over the more efficient rear-wheel drive variants that come with the 99 kilowatt-hour battery. So yeah, if you want the most bang for your buck in terms of range, you can get the rear-wheel drive Mustang Mach-E with the almost 100 kilowatt-hour battery, but this is not that. The Performance Edition saves a bit of weight, so a bit of a smaller battery. Dual motor, of course, but hell's bells. £67,225 is so much money. Serious car you can get for that. So they are up against some big competition. I'll pop a link to Evo in the show notes if you'd like to read more. Next, we'll talk about Audi and the Q4 e-tron coming in at a much more digestible £40,000. The all-electric e-tron Q4 now available to order in either the SUV shape or the sportback shape, starting at £47,500. Two battery sizes, three power outputs, four trim levels. And if you go for the most efficient, you'll do 316 miles of range on a single charge on that. So you can get a 55 kilowatt hour battery. That's 52 usable, I should probably point out, on the entry level 35 spec. So 168 horsepower on that. Rear wheel drive motor, 208 miles of range, which is not great because, you know, once it gets cold and you put some elevation in there, that isn't so good. And 0 to 62 miles an hour is 9 seconds. So the Audi for me is a car that when I look at it, I've not driven the Q4 e-tron yet, and I'm looking forward to. When I look at it, it looks like every bit premium Audi styling that I would want. I prefer the styling of that, the way that they finished it, than the ID4 and the Skoda Enyaq. So in terms of using the same platform, I really love the Audi e-tron Q4. But then again, you think, well, the base model's 40. Like, the base model's 40 grand. And you get a 52 kilowatt hour usable battery. And you're not going to get all the bells and whistles of the higher specs. Only 168 brake horsepower. 9 seconds 0 to 60. Which, look, how many times are you really flooring it? But even then, you can halve that time and pay a similar amount of money for an EV. You can go up in spec and get the 40 spec. So that's an 82 kilowatt hour battery, 77 usable, 201 horsepower motor, 316 miles of charge, 0 to 60, still slow, 8.2 seconds. And the 50 spec with a quattro, you know, all-wheel drive system, two electric motors, 295 horsepower. And so if you go to the Audi configurator now, you can start at 40 grand. That is a good headline that I gave you. But if you do want the Q4 e-tron Vorsprung edition, which is the first one that they are doing, and that's got like the head-up display and the, you know, the nice trim, all the sort of little toys that you want, and you want the quattro version, and of course it's an Audi, so you want all-wheel drive, yeah? That's £65,645. And again, you are in some rarefied air up there, not just if you're talking about electric vehicles, but if you are spending £65,000 on any vehicle, the competition is tough. So would you go for that as a brand new car, or would you go for a two-year-old used Audi e-tron, for instance, which has been out a while now and is a heck of a car and a lot of car as well for that money? And I've not looked at used prices, something that I'll have to do to start comparing, you know, new cars versus what you could get on the used market as the used car market starts to mature with electric vehicles. But still, you know, 40 grand is the headline, but you can spec it way higher. And finally, the ID4 GTX. That's the four-wheel drive version of VW's ID4. Again, same platform, same underpinnings as the car we were just talking about. That is now available to order, at least here in the UK. And its price is starting at 48,510, wearing the new GTX badge and GTX Max. So the GTX is 48,510, and the Max version is £55,500. The first ID models to have all-wheel drive and 220 kilowatts of power, 0 to 62, 6.2 seconds on the quickest one of those. So the GTX, I believe, is the slightly faster one. GTX Max is fully loaded, again, bells, whistles, toys, everything. But still, it's a £55,000 car here for a VW ID4. You can do it with the Skoda ENIAC as well. People keep telling me that the ENIACs are, you know, the Skoda's great. And of course, Skoda is seen by lots of people as a more budget brand. But you go into the configurator of that and you go for the top spec and add all the things that you want that aren't even, you know, crazy options. Just you want the things that you're spending that much money are going to make your life easier. We're not talking about anything particularly wild and crazy. Just some driver assistance and, you know, all the nice big screens, head-up display, etc. And you're in that territory. So, not pretending for a second, these are cheap cars. Maybe they'll be bought as company cars, or people worry more about the monthly payments, etc. I don't know. I look at that headline price and think what I could do with the money. Not that I have that much money. Okay, let's move on and let's continue talking about electric vehicle news today. Oh, by the way, I always love to hear from you whether you think those are reasonable prices for those cars or not. My address, hello@evnewsdaily.com. Always welcome to send me your feedback. Coming soon, we'll look at an all-electric motorcycle from Harley Davidson, but don't call it a Harley, and why NIO have their sights set on much more than just Norway. Stick around. Okay, now we'll talk about Tesla increasing the price of the Model S and the Model X by $5,000. That's a big, big increase. They've been trickling the prices up of their cars, $500 here, $500 there, but overnight adding $5,000 to the S and the X, both long range and plaid as well. Last month, they started delivering the Model S, both versions of that, plaid and long range. That also saw a $10,000 price increase, the plaid version did. So the plaid hasn't. I was about to say 15,000 cumulatively. The plaid hasn't changed. So $5,000 for the long range S and X, not plaid, I should say. So, yep, the plaid had its increase, and now the long range getting its increase. Electrek points out that in an update to the online configurator, they have quietly implemented a $5,000 price increase for their flagship cars. The price jumping from $79,990 to $84,500, and the Model X now starts at $94,500 as well. Wow, we are talking about some expensive cars on the podcast today. Of course, the plaid version, still dream car territory, $130,000 for that. And I wonder if anyone listening to this show is affected by that. I would guess not, now that I'm thinking out loud about it, because Tesla have been pretty good with honouring, you know, if you reserved a car at a certain price, it's not a bait and switch, don't get me wrong. They will honour the price that you reserved it at. So if you had one in, you're probably paying the original price. If you hadn't got yours in yet, you'll be paying the new price. Add 5K, please. Why is that? I don't know. I'd be speculating. Of course, there's no reason given. But, of course, raw materials are more expensive. Generally, supply chains have been squeezed over COVID years, so it is more expensive to build a car. It could just be something as simple, because, you know, Tesla's pricing is very fluid. They're very good at looking at, you know, demand and what margin they can put on cars. It could just be they've been surprised at how many people are putting orders in for the new one. Maybe they had an S or an X, they're selling their old one used, or, you know, chopping it in and getting the new one. It could just be that they're like, well, lots of demand here, we can make some more money. It's the way it works. I'd love to know your thoughts on that. Next, the Renault Megane got a mention yesterday, and thank you to the listener that sent me this as a nice little extra to yesterday's story. I was talking about how the Megane is a big selling car for Renault and how I'm delighted it's going to go all electric. Somebody wanted me to point out that actually, with the addition of the Renault Megane hatch plug-in hybrid to the lineup, at least here in the UK, joining the Sports Tourer, there's no pure electric version, pure petrol and pure diesel versions left. That means that from September, in line with their strategy of going electric, they've removed any pure combustion version from the hatch and sports tourer of the Renault Megane. So UK customers who want the Renault Megane can have it as a plug-in hybrid, available in two equipment levels. There's the E-Tech hybrid and the RS line, I think it is, E-Tech, and it's got a 49 kilowatt electric motor, 10 kilowatt hour battery pack, so you won't go too far. Maybe if it's the same powertrain as the Renault Captur, you'll do something like 30 odd miles, 50 kilometers on electric power alone. If anyone listens to this show that owns that car, I'd love to know how far you go on electric power. Next, Volvo and Geely, the parent company, are making a new company, and the baby is going to be called Aurobay, or Aurobay, A-U-R-O-B-A-Y. Volvo Cars and their parent holding company, Geely, are creating a new joint venture under the name Aurobay to make powertrains. And so, yeah, batteries, motors, inverters, etc. As those two companies proceed with their early announced plans to merge them into a new standalone business, the new company is going to be a global supplier of powertrain solutions for EVs, says this article today on the volvocars.com media site. I'll pop a link to it's media.volvocars.com if you want to have a look where they put all their kind of press releases and stuff. Going to be jointly owned by Volvo and Geely. Volvo will transfer in their powertrain team from Sweden into this new company. And the creation of the standalone joint venture and the transfer of assets means that Volvo Cars, no longer burdened with actually worrying about how to make the things go, can focus on developing their range of all-electric premium cars. Geely get access for their other brands, but I imagine being a standalone company, they'll be selling internally, like a lot of big car companies do this. A lot of large companies do it anyway, kind of cross-charging or physically operating as a separate legal entity. And so Volvo, Geely, Lincoln Co., the, you know, everything they own, will say, hey, I'd like this electric motor, battery, etc. for our new Volvo, and we'll get it from our own company, but there's a cost involved in that. But of course, they're no longer spending on the R&D of making those themselves. There should be some cost savings, and it builds that new joint venture, Aurobay, into its own company, which then means it can supply other companies outside of Geely, the Chinese parent company holding group. So as we've seen with the European Ford electric vehicle using VW's technology, then more than just licensing, so sort of simply selling powertrains to other companies, I can see that's where they're going with that. We'll talk a bit about NIO, mentioned them yesterday on the podcast, and in addition to the story that I mentioned, of course, they're coming to Norway, to Europe, with their battery swap stations. They've just received certification for selling their own products in EU countries. The German certification agency TÜV Rheinland issued European conformity certificates and mark approval to the power swap stations. Their power chargers and the wall boxes that they'll sell to customers means they can now operate in any EU member state. NIO wants 4,000 of these stations worldwide and 1,000 battery swap stations outside of China. So if you're putting 1,000 battery swap stations outside of China and you're expanding into Europe by saying, well, we're going to start with Norway, that's a pretty clear indicator. Yeah, you're going to be out of Norway very quickly and into other markets. Rumours growing they're going to be going to Germany, says Electrive.com. They've picked up on this rumour. German car market, highly attractive for Chinese brands, taking on the big German car makers in their backyard. The company NIO is currently advertising for positions in Germany, including a general manager of NIO Germany, based in Munich, and they're putting it on LinkedIn. So that's pretty obvious what they're doing there. So maybe Germany will be next, and then they'll expand throughout Europe. They've got the certification now to put their battery swap stations in and sell you a wall box as well. So here come the Chinese cars. I've been saying for years it's on its way. Would you buy one though? We've had it as question of the week many times in the past, talking about how people feel about buying Chinese cars or brands they're not sure about. Maybe we'll readdress it again between now and the end of the year. Next, Harley-Davidson announced an updated version of their Livewire electric motorcycle yesterday. But it's not a Harley, it's a Livewire. They've spun off the word Livewire into their own brand, their own division, not called Harley-Davidson. The Livewire 1 looks like the Harley-branded Livewire that you know and you may love if you love your electric bikes, new paint job, new logo, and 146 miles of range, DC fast charging in 60 minutes to get to full. Says CNET.com, what does seem to have been revamped is the pricing. The old Harley Livewire used to cost $30,000. That's big money for a motorcycle. Now costs $22,000 before any applicable tax credits, which aren't as generous as the ones for cars, but you can still get them. Livewire 1 makes its debut on July 18th, next week, at the International Motorcycle Show in Northern California. Pop a link to CNET in the show notes if you'd like to read more. That's so good to hear and see that the pricing is coming down for electric motorcycles, because yeah, 30 grand is huge money for a bike. But you start to get into that territory of late teens, early 20s, for some people, those Harley buyers, the typical customer of Livewire, and it starts to be a bit more achievable. Next, we'll talk about a Norwegian ferry operator. They're called Fjord One, and they are going to make their ferries go electric. They have contracted the Norwegian Electric Systems Company to do the power control and the battery systems for the ferries. They're converting them from gas and diesel to all electric, zero emissions. This is amazing. Norway's such a beautiful country, and I've only been there once, but we did sail around the fjords, and it's a special place, and it's not a place for diesel ferries. They're equipping these ferries with batteries, chargers, generators, and upgrades of the AC circuits as well. Pop a link to NorwegianElectric.com, where I found this little story flying around. And they're doing all things like the charging towers and stuff, so great. Ferries going electric, we love that. Final story today. By 2050, so we are a ways off, driving all electric vehicles will save 99% less fossil fuel consumption and 93% less CO2 emissions from passenger vehicles in island states. The likes of Hawaii, actually. Anything that's quite self-contained. And these are beautiful parts of the world. And of course, at the moment, have to import a lot of their energy. So if they can go electric, they can eliminate 93% of their CO2 emissions from passenger vehicles. That is the scenario published by the World Electric Vehicle Journal by the University of Hawaii. The transition to EVs offers a momentous, an immediate advantage to reducing fossil fuel consumption and resulting emissions for ground transportation in places like Hawaii and similar regions, despite the current high dependence. There's a current dependence in places like that on oil for power generation. Well, there should be more renewables on their grids, especially solar and wind, replacing fossil fuels for power generation. And if they can do that and increase renewables on islands, along with having electric transportation so that they can be energy independent. It means that you can eliminate CO2 from transportation compared to internal combustion engines. Accelerating both EV adoption and grid renewables has a striking cumulative benefit, and it steeply reduces fossil fuel use and also emissions. It's an enormous job that we've all got to do, but you take somewhere as beautiful like Hawaii, where this study was done by the university there, to say, hey, look, if we can drive electric vehicles and make our own electricity, we are quids in. Guys, I'm sure that wasn't the you know, the conclusion of this research paper. We're quids in, guys. But you know what I mean? All right, question of the week with emobilitynorway.com. If you had to buy one electric car today and it was the only one that you could drive for the next 3 years, what would it be and why? Tell me. Hello at evnewsdaily.com. I'd love to hear from you. You can check out our Patreon page anytime you want to. It's how we fund this podcast. It's patreon.com, patreon.com/EV News Daily. You haven't got it. I mean, you know, this pod, we'll do it anyway. I used to do it for free and foot all the costs myself as a sort of my hobby. But now you pay for this podcast to happen. And our premium partners getting a daily mention: Phil Roberts of Electric Future, Brad Crosby, Porsche of the Village in Cincinnati, Audi of Cincinnati East, Volvo Cars of Cincinnati East, NationalCarCharging.com and AlohaCharge.com, Derek Riley from the EV Review Ireland YouTube channel, Richard at RSEV.co.uk for buying and selling EVs in the UK, and emobilitynorway.com. Have a good one. See you tomorrow. And remember, there's no such thing as a self-charging hybrid.